If your brain is at full capacity with to-dos, birthdays, and dinner plans, meet Skylight Calendar. It syncs your entire family schedule onto a sleek digital display so you focus on important things like where you left your coffee. Right now, Skylight is offering our listeners $30 off their 15-inch calendars by going to skylightcal.com/talk. Go to skylightcal.com/talk for $30 off your 15-inch calendar. That's skylightcal.com/talk.
It's time for an emergency edition of Microbrew. Milwaukee Brewers chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Holy smokes, the Milwaukee Brewers. Man, they made a deal that I cannot stop thinking about it. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the show, and over here is Kurt Hoag. He is the beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, covering the Milwaukee Brewers, and Milwaukee pulled off a heist yesterday. I mean, that's the initial review. They pick up catcher William Contreras from the Atlanta Braves. That is an all-star player who's 25 years old and under club contract, club control, through the 2027 season. He's a pretty nice offensive player, absolutely addresses one of their needs. But the thing is, the Brewers didn't give up a ton to get him. They sacrificed Esturi Ruiz, who is now a member of the Oakland Athletics, a three-team trade. Ruiz came over in the Josh Hader trade. We'll talk about all that. He was a top-10 prospect in the system, but an outfielder. They have a lot of outfielders, and they end up sending him to Oakland. Atlanta, like I said, involved in the trade. It's all part of the deal that sends Sean Murphy from Oakland to Atlanta. There's another catcher that we've talked about, and the Brewers in this exchange also get Yoel Piamps, a relief pitcher and a minor leaguer, by the name of Justin Yeager. I almost called him Kevin again. I was like, why can't I get the name Kevin Yeager out of my head? There must be a Kevin Yeager somewhere in my life. But Kurt, how did this happen? How were they able to get an all-star catcher for the next 5 years for a minor league outfielder? Like, no offense to Esturi Ruiz, and we will talk about him, but what happened there?
Where do you want to start?
I don't know. I've never felt this way about it. Maybe when they traded Scott Ascending for Carlos Lee, I felt like they got...
How dare you go there?
No, I know. No, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry.
You watch your words there, sir.
I appreciate your affinity for Scott Ascending very deeply. He was very good to the Brewers.
So a little background knowledge for those who aren't actively aware of my childhood obsession with Scott Ascending. I cried. At that trade,
you
JR.
You cried?
I was, what, 8 years old, mm-hmm. In Brown Deer, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And that was like my first athlete that I loved. And they traded him for Carlos Lee. How could they?
I also maybe cried a little, but not in the same way. Because, I mean, Scott Pacetic was awesome as a rookie, but like everyone thought that was out of nowhere. And I feel like at the time, no one could have imagined that they could get an all-star caliber outfielder in El Caballo and Carlos Lee for a guy like Scott Pacenic, but it was like a one-for-one trade, and it worked out for both sides. The White Sox won the World Series, and Scotty Pods was amazing for them, and Carlos Lee was an all-star for the next 3-plus years or whatever it was that he was in Milwaukee. It worked out great.
I'm offended. I don't know if I
are you gonna storm out before we get started? Scott Pacenic is the thing that set you off? Incredible stuff.
Yes.
This is the first time that I can remember a trade feeling like the Brewers won it so wholeheartedly. And it's a three-team trade, and there's a lot of moving parts. But if you look at, like, for example, the Fangraphs review, they compare the Brewers to Ticketmaster, to health insurance, as, like, sidling up to somebody else's business and making money off of it
incredibly weird. In my story today, I think I called it, I think I said, like, deals of this one-sidedness in nature are usually reserved for, like, college textbooks.
Yeah, that's right.
And bank fees.
It feels like they got a major, major heist. And we will talk about whether or not we're wrong about that or what the story is. But just give me your general knowledge right off the top.
Yeah, it's rare for there to be such industry consensus that one team, in a three-team deal especially, like, just comes away with such a steal. Like, that's, you know, generally you can kind of look at it as one team was a winner. But this level of, like, the Brewers won the trade and there's like not a single person disagreeing with it, almost makes you pause for a little bit and wonder what you're missing. But really what it comes down to is the A's valued Esturi Ruiz very highly, mm-hmm. Higher than the Brewers, higher than it's seemingly everyone else in the industry. And then when trade talks between them and the Braves broke down, essentially because they needed another piece, and the Braves farm system doesn't necessarily have that a good comp to how they value Eustry Ruiz. Contreras is maybe that player, but they didn't want Contreras due to the fact they have Shea. I'm not going to say
Shea Langeliers.
Langeliers. Yeah, it's just straightforward.
Langeliers? I believe it's Langeliers. Yeah.
I thought it was like Langelier or something.
Well, as an avid Stephen King fan, one of his best short stories is The Langeliers, turned into a made-for-TV movie at one point that was of questionable quality. But like, if it's not Langeliers, I'm sad because I do love The Langeliers.
I didn't know this about you.
Big Stephen King guy. Huge Stephen King guy. Anyway, carry on.
Back to the baseball discourse. They also
Stephen King, Scott Pasednik. Eventually, we'll talk about this trade.
The A's, maybe their top prospect, either one of their top prospects is Tyler Soderstrom, too. I believe he also plays catcher, so that played a role in them not necessarily wanting Contreras. And then they wanted Vaughn Grissom, the rookie middle infielder for the Braves. The Braves aren't doing that. Michael Harris, Spencer Strider, obviously off the table as well as that third piece. So there was just not an agreed upon big third piece, and it's no secret around the baseball. I was told that the A's love Eustry Ruiz. They've tried to acquire him in deals multiple times. They love his speed. They hope it can play up. I mean, there's serious questions about his bat, but you can kind of see it. If the bat comes together, it's a really enticing package. That's a big if, but nevertheless, that's how the A's value him. The Brewers knew this. They sort of took advantage of the fact that they knew this, and the A's love Ruiz. There were some other teams involved in trying to get in on this deal, but because the Brewers were willing to part with Ruiz and didn't really have any problems doing so, that was more than fine with the A's. And the Brewers actually were able to, once that package was pretty much agreed upon, they were basically able to go to the Braves and the A's and say, okay, we need a little bit more back on the pitching end. And that's how they got Piamps and your boy Kevin.
Kevin, I'm so sorry to Jaeger that I can never remember his first name. Okay, so let's talk a little more about Eustry Ruiz. And I imagine most people understand this background, that he came over along with Robert Gosser and the other pieces of the Josh Hader trade. Those are the two guys who figured to have – they were kind of going to be the enduring legacy of that trade, because Taylor Rogers presumably will not be back, although we both advocate for maybe the Brewers taking a flyer on him again and having him back in the bullpen. Although some of those bullpen spots are starting to fill up here as the offseason goes on.
Rosenthal.
Kurt, they're just not going to do that. They just won't do that.
Sorry.
So Eustry Ruiz, super fast, leading all the minor leagues in stolen bases, had a tremendous season this past year. But I know that when the Hader trade was consummated, one of the issues is like the Padres didn't have to give up any of their top like five prospects or 10. You know, I think Gosser was in the top 10 or Ruiz might have been in the top 10. Like, those guys were highly regarded, but they were not. And the Padres have an amazing system, but they were not one of the top few guys in that organization. Inevitably, those guys went into the trade for the Padres to get Juan Soto. So There was still some thought that he would be a really nice player. But as we talk about the outfielders coming up for the Brewers, we mentioned Garrett Mitchell, obviously, because he saw a lot of time in September. We mentioned Sal Frelick, who had a tremendous season, and it kind of looks like the future at one of these outfield spots. Is it Frelick or Frelick? I'm never going to get this right.
Sal.
It's Sal. Thank you, Sal. And then Joey Weimer, who's kind of this boomer bust, you know, quality glove, power bat guy who's probably going to strike out a lot. Very fascinating. And then we get to mentioning Eustry Ruiz. Now, there's a decent chance Ruiz is better than all those guys. We don't know. There's a chance that he is maybe the next Ronald Acuna. We don't know. It's just that no one has really hinted at that yet. I mean, and that would be a surprise. And for the Brewers to trade a guy who didn't maybe have a role going forward, like I think Eustry Ruiz, who did get a little bit of time in the big leagues with the Brewers this year, had previously played in the big leagues with the Padres briefly. I do think he would have seen a lot of time on the big league club this year. But I wasn't thinking of him as like, well, he'll definitely start in the outfield. There was no real path to that. So to give up that guy, get two relievers, first of all, in addition to the guy that addresses their biggest offseason need, which is a quality offensive catcher, when this deal was leaking out, we were talking about, well, who else are the Brewers giving up? There's got to be another name. And I was thinking, could it be someone like Freddie Peralta? Could it be someone of that high caliber? Because that sure maybe fits. Like, you can kind of start to see, well, you know, to get a catcher at that offensive level, that's a high premium to pay. You got to kind of go all in. Maybe they take that risk and weaken their starting rotation. They didn't have to give up anybody. I still don't know. I still can't wrap my mind around it. I mean, I don't want to shortchange it. Astoria Ruiz could be very good, but he is much more of a lottery ticket than he is a surefire major league star at this point. And I don't know how the Brewers got away with it.
Yeah, because of the physical tools, there might be more upside than a guy like Frelick, maybe. And that's sort of what the A's are taking a gamble on. But there's legitimate concerns about the bat, namely just the lack of hard hit balls. His hard hit rate, even in his breakout year this last year, wasn't great. Wasn't very good. Not just exit velocity numbers don't really bode well for the future. Generally, you want to see prospects that punish the baseball, drive the ball, and even you know, he improved some of the contact rate and the walk rate, and obviously the speed is next otherworldly. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, when you've got a tough road to get playing time as a whole, and then you add in some of the questions about the bat, more so than you have with any of the other guys, those other outfielders, besides maybe Garrett Mitchell, who has some bigger questions as well. It becomes a no-brainer to do the deal if you're the Brewers. Mm-hmm. It's a high variance prospect at a position where you've already got high variance with a guy like Joey Weimer, who could be a superstar, Sal Frelick, who's got the super high floor, it seems. You're well set and well stocked at that position. And you've also got this guy named Christian Yelich in left field for a few years.
Mm-hmm, I've heard of him.
So, yeah, he's going to be there for a while. So you do the deal. And I think if the Brewers did not have that depth in the outfield, I think people might look at it a bit differently. I think the fact that, you know, from the Brewers' end, it's your fifth best outfield prospect. So it feels like you gave up next to nothing. When in reality, Ruiz is he's, like I said, a high variance, possible, really, really good center fielder. Still some questions about his defense, even though he's very
fast.
Yeah,
I was going to ask about that. I don't know defensively if they know for sure. I mean, outfield isn't his first position, right?
Yeah, no, he's played a bunch of infield, second base too, but now he's permanent outfielder. And with that speed, you don't want to have to move him to a corner. It feels like waving a white flag.
Right.
Although they do have Christian Pache, who's an absurdly good center fielder, but also, interestingly enough, very fast, very good defensive player, can't hit, and they traded for him from the Braves last offseason. It seems like the A's have a type.
Well, we compared him a little bit off mic to Carlos Gomez, and that Carlos Gomez, who had probably a better power profile as he came up, if I recall, you know, he was sort of an enigmatic talent who had all these tools, and then eventually it clicked, and he became an MVP candidate with the Brewers. He did. He had 2 to 3 phenomenal years. But that was kind of a best-case scenario, and everything came together, and it was frustrating for a while. It took him a while to develop.
There was 4 or 5 years of just of Carlos Gomez being a frustrating player.
Exactly. And Oakland—
not putting it together.
Oakland is a cavernous ballpark. Home run hitters do not thrive there typically. So you're probably looking for speed guys. You're looking for guys who can find the gaps, run down baseballs. I mean, theoretically, Astoria Ruiz fits that profile again. He could be a very good player. Clearly, they thought a lot of him, the Brewers did, or they would not have made him one of the centerpieces of this Josh Hader trade, which again, we're going to come back to that. But I would have been down on the deal, I think, if they had offered up Freddy Peralta or Eric Lauer and felt like, I mean, maybe you could justify it, but that's a high price to pay. The fact, though, that I was thinking that, and then it ends up being no other player, I'm just still a little bit baffled.
It's nothing more than a slight dent in the farm system. That's all. Like their current team, I think we're so conditioned to the Brewers like dealing from their major league team this offseason and last, I guess, as well. That excuse me. That like it's a shock that like mm-hmm. they have some guys that could have been included in this deal and just weren't at the major league level, and then they give up their 10th best prospect. According to the Journal Sentinel rankings.
Yes. 8th best, according to others.
I like ours better.
I know you do. That's true. That's just not a high price to pay. And payroll-wise, because William Contreras is still a very affordable contract. I mean, he's 25 years old. He isn't on a major contract at this point. and won't be. You know, he'll be obviously RB eligible, you know, within a couple of years, but like by 2027, that's when he becomes free agent. Like, this is not hurting their payroll situation either. They are still in the very same spot where they can go out and get more players offensively or pitching, whatever they're looking for, in theory anyway. They can still make those moves. It's truly baffling. Now, there are some, I guess, not even red flags with William Contreras, but there are a couple things to at least discuss.
Yeah, let's devil's advocate a little bit, sure.
Yeah. First of all, his defense is questionable. It is, I think, debatably, you could debate at least how good it is. It's not good. No one is going to say, oh, you know, objectively, he's a good defensive player. The Brewers, ton of success over the years, turning guys who are bat-first catchers into quality defensive catchers. We have recent examples. Omar Narvaez is a recent example of that. Yasmani Grandal before that, they found guys and made them. Walker McKinvin and Charlie Green are kind of the architects of that in the Brewers organization. They've had a lot of success with that. So that's one thing you look at. Also, William Contreras, he was an all-star in this last All-Star game. He started as a DH for the National League. It bears mentioning that he didn't come from elite prospect status. You know, the year before, in more limited big league appearances, he was just okay at a 701 OPS. It was not something you would look at and say, other than him being Wilson Contreras' brother, you wouldn't maybe even notice him necessarily. So he is similar to, I guess, Esteury Ruiz. He had a great year that really sort of skyrocketed his value and whatnot. The thing is, he did it at the major league level, so you've got to think that that's probably going to continue on some level. But I guess those are at least a little bit of caution when you look at this holistically.
Yeah, some of the other caution too, like the swing and miss rate is not great. It's not good. I wouldn't say it's concerning.
Like that's it fits just, in with a lot.
Just,
of...
Yeah, it's just part of his game, but it's not great. It's probably one of the on the lower end of that spectrum. But he still does walk a decent amount. Some of the BABIP stuff might not be as high as it was last year. I wouldn't go into this year expecting that, but he punishes the baseball. Like, there's very few guys that hit left-handers as hard as he does.
Which is exactly what the Brewers didn't
need.
Have.
Yeah, last they need that.
Yeah, again, it fits everything that the Brewers are looking for.
But yeah, devil's advocate. That's what I was supposed to be doing. Trailed back into positivity.
That's what makes this so confounding. Like, yeah, okay, let's say he reverts back and he is not an all-star caliber player going forward, but he's just okay. Okay, well, he's still a starting catcher in the big leagues. And maybe he has to move. He's still like there's very few scenarios where he's like unplayable, right? And even then, getting three players for one minor leaguer, even then is a valuable deal. I mean, certainly the Brewers, if you're the Brewers, you do not want it to go that way. You want William Contreras to be one of the best offensive contributors to next year's team. I could see it not happening quite that way, but the odds are just really on Milwaukee's side for this.
Yeah, so, I mean, the Braves gave up on him for a reason.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, part of it is they got Sean Murphy.
Who is an upgrade.
The best catcher available on the market, including free agent market with William's brother, Wilson. Like, Gold Glover, Silver Slugger.
He's everything.
More proven as well. Total package. Makes sense.
A lot of people will tell you, though, it could be, like, it's a Sean Murphy trade right now, and it could be the William Contreras trade down the line because William still has room to grow.
And 5 years of control.
Exactly.
But if they're concerned about his ability to be a defensive, like a stick at catcher, if they just think he's a DH, then this trade makes all the sense in the world to them.
Sure.
Are you really expecting him to be a 138 WRC plus? You know, hit 38% better than league average every year? Probably not. Like, I think that's a bit unrealistic to expect any player at that age to sustain that level of performance. Now he might, you know, he might be that level of hitter, but he, like you mentioned earlier, doesn't really have the prospect pedigree to say he'll be that good. So if you factor in. Okay, he's not able to stick at catcher, and if the offense goes a tick back to, you know, like a 760, 770, 780 OPS, all of a sudden he doesn't stand out a ton from the pack. Like that's basically Rowdy Tellez, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
no, you're right about that. Yes.
So that is the downside to the deal, but the Brewers are willing to take the bet on the bat. The immediate upgrade that it has to the offense. I mean, they're hitting at catcher for the last 4 months. Last year was
abysmal.
Abysmal barely even begins to. It was horrible. Mm-hmm. The defense was really good though, yeah. But they could not hit a lick, especially against lefties. So that's a huge upgrade in the immediate. aftermath, and you take a bet on the fact that catching defense, in particular pitch framing, is arguably the most coachable, developable, is that a word, skill?
Yeah.
At the major league level. Like, guys who do not hit the ball hard are not going to suddenly learn to hit the ball hard at age 27.
Yeah.
Guys that don't throw 99 aren't, you know, they're not going to add 7 ticks to their fastball. But guys can become really, really good defensive catchers. I guess defense as a whole has that. But even I think there's even more room to grow at catcher than there is with, say, just like a bad outfielder.
And I mean, he's got a good arm. He's capable of throwing guys out. And if robot umpires come along and pitch framing essentially becomes obsolete and doesn't matter if you frame the ball well, I mean, that's one more reason to have this guy. Like, he's got the skills already that are sort of outside of that network. I know pitch framing isn't like his worst skill or anything, but like you said, you can train him to be better in the short term, and then, you know, but he's already good at the other stuff too. So let's go back to the Josh Hader trade.
It lives.
It
never ends.
I feel like we can't have a. How many more podcasts are we going to do where we have to mention it at least?
This is
once?
An impressive streak.
We're on a hot one.
Yeah, like 32 straight pods talking about Josh Hader trade.
It's certainly since it happened, right? I can't imagine we went on any pods without discussing it. There's a chance we didn't mention it last week when we talked about Winker. Is that possible?
Oh, we're going to have to go back and...
We got to play the
read. Yeah, edit.
Get the tape.
Oh, boy.
The Josh Hader trade. It is not completely reframed. There's still the reality that they made a trade and they were in position to go to the playoffs. The trade afterwards, everything went wrong. They did not go to the playoffs. No one's going to remember it fondly. But it does reframe it a little bit. Because now one of the players they got, and this is similar to, I would say, the Jonathan LaCroix trade a few years ago where they got Lewis Brinson, and then Lewis Brinson became one of the chief pieces to land Christian Yelich sort of retroactively, not that that deal was bad before, but retroactively making that deal certainly worth it. Now the guys they got for Hader are Robert Gosser, who still, again, could be a contributor on this team in going forward, and I think we're going to see him in 2023 at some point, although that is maybe a little aggressive, then a guy that they traded to get their starting catcher for the next 5 years. Now, I've made this joke a couple times. Now you don't get mad about the return. You're mad that Esturi Ruiz, who apparently is worth 2 relievers and a starting catcher, was not featured in September when they needed that extra boost. Clearly, he's a much better player than we thought, and he should have been at the center of the lineup in September instead of just getting a cup of coffee. Which you know, I'm kidding about that, but it's hard to call the Josh Hader deal. We've already seen a little bit of a gain, right? I guess if Contreras doesn't work out, it somehow goes bad again. But this is a little bit different now.
Are we sleeping on Esturi? Like, think about this: are we sleeping on Esturi Ruiz? He's now been a part of trades that netted Josh Hader and
William Contreras
and Sean Murphy as well. Like, that's who the A's parted with to get him.
Well, this is the question I'm asking myself. Like, do I not realize that this guy's a sleeping giant?
Yeah, and the Brewers, like, it's not that the Brewers were extremely low on him. I do think it's worth noting, though, that the regime that traded, the regime was basically the same. But
sure,
the head of baseball operations that traded for Ruiz is not the guy who traded. Like, it's, Matt Arnold was involved in that deal for sure, but he's not the one ultimately signing off on Esturi Ruiz, and he's the guy who traded him.
It also frames how we as fans feel about him. He's not a prospect that you've been hearing about for 6 years. He's a guy you've just known for 2 months, so you feel a little bit better parting with that, I suppose. I don't know.
There might be something to that. I do think the profile, though, is like the one that you're fine giving up in this deal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it reframes the trade in my mind, but it makes me question what I think about Esturi Ruiz a little bit. Like, makes me question my priors.
Yeah, and I mean Oakland's in a bad place. They're
very bad. They're, like physically in the stadium or
absolutely yes. Their stadium is falling apart.
They have feral cats, right?
Their management ownership seems intent on just sort of running this thing into the ground until they can either somehow get a new stadium or move, or there's a lot of legal issues involved. Fans are not coming to the games at all. Single digits in the thousands, like 8,000 fans a game. It's bad. They are not playing the short game. They are not looking for major. The reason Sean Murphy was so abundantly available is because they do not care about the next couple teams on the big league level. So they're playing the long game.
They signed Jace Peterson now.
They did. On base Jace, who might
be their best player.
He's going to be their best player.
Have you seen their depth chart?
I have.
Kurt, it's bad.
He's their best player, I think.
Him and Aledmys Diaz, who they also signed.
I feel bad. I empathize with the Oakland fans. You know, like growing up in Milwaukee, you saw in, for me anyway, 90s baseball in Milwaukee. That's what it's worse right now for Oakland, and those people have been through a lot, thick and thin. They've had some great moments, but you know, no titles recently. Like they have some in their not too distant past, but it's just wow, that's a tough scene.
People like to criticize Brewers ownership, and I think there's valid things to say about the Brewers needing to spend more money in this current window and having the resources to do so. But it could be a lot worse.
It could be.
Like, Oakland is in a dire place.
I mean, the last time the Brewers were truly not competitive is 2016. And there are a lot of franchises that can't say that. Even franchises that have had a ton of success in the last couple of years, that can't say that they have been that competitive since 2016, since the year, you know, the year 2017. What comes next now? Because, obviously, we're back to speculating a little bit, but they've added Jesse Winker. They've added, I guess, Abraham Toro, who we didn't talk a lot about on the last podcast. I don't know if that's fair or unfair, but you know, I'm not thinking of Abraham Toro as one of their key contributors next year. Maybe more of a utility guy, but I could be wrong. And then they added some bullpen arms, which I don't know if there any of them are particularly worth honing in on. Like one of them, I think it's a situation where they just get a lot of guys and hope one or two of them sticks. And then they got a new catcher. There's a possibility to upgrade third base or second base, I think. But what more do you think? I mean, do you think the Brewers they're not going to be involved in the amount of money that's been thrown around through the winter meetings and stuff, but now we're getting to that second tier where the Brewers might be a little more active.
There's still needs for sure. They need another bat. It doesn't necessarily need to be a super high impact bat. I feel like they've done a pretty good job of replacing the guys that have gone out with Winker and William Contreras, who they, I don't know if you heard this, they just traded for him. And then, you know, kind of filtering in the rest with Toro and Turang and maybe some of these other prospects as well.
Ooh, I like Toro, Turang. There's a alliteration there that I feel like we could work with. Stay tuned.
Okay, will do. And so, but there's like right field still feels like it needs someone, maybe someone at third or second, as we've talked about previously.
Well, his right field, it could be Jesse Winker.
It could be.
We think he's a DH,
that's very plausible. The team that stands out in my mind is the Twins for a trade partner. They need pitching. They have some guys that I think they're willing to move on the offense. Max Kepler would play in right. Luis Arraez would probably cost the most out of the group coming off the batting title. But that would be a huge upgrade for the Brewers. And then like maybe Jorge Polanco or someone like that would tickle their fancy.
Do you think that gets done with – because when you say deal from pitching – you know, you're not thinking of Burns and Woodruff, and you're probably not thinking Peralta. So like Eric Lauer or Adrian Hauser, like is there a package in there where one of those guys could be the return, you think? Or is that
for Arraez, it's going to cost more than either. Like Ashby would maybe be the price. And I'm not sure we've talked about this on podcast past. The Brewers are really high on Aaron Ashby, like putting it together this year. The pieces are all kind of there. So I'm not sure the Brewers would be willing to do that. They also do – I mean, they do have – like starting pitching is obviously their strength. They have six guys right now plus a little more depth on the back end than they had last year in case they have to shatter the glass in case of emergency. But is it a smart move to trade someone like Eric Lauer and all of a sudden you're cutting significantly into that depth and like –
And not just the depth. It's like Eric Lauer can be a big game pitcher for you. He's not one of your top three, but he's really
pretty
high level.
Yeah, but as far as number four starters go in baseball,
he's about as good as
he's got a good track record for sure. And so one of the problems we saw last year was their margin for error was it was just shrunk by some of the injuries to the starting pitching staff, some of the underperformance as well. I guess is part of that what happens when you lose that margin for error. You have to pitch guys that are underperforming, like Adrian Hauser keeps going out there. And I don't think they wanted to start Aaron Ashby as much as they wanted to, or as much as they ended up doing last year. So by removing Lauer, that's what you would be essentially doing again, is you'd be banking on a lot from your top three. And it could work out. Like, they could be the best top three starting pitchers in baseball, and it would be a fantastic trade, but it could also backfire again. So I don't know. This is these are the things to consider.
I feel like we don't ever go a full offseason without the Brewers signing somebody of consequence. They haven't really maybe done that yet. So
they'll do something. They'll do something.
Yeah, like Justin Turner.
Justin Turner is the name
I would circle that name a couple times.
Yeah, I think people have looked at Brandon Drury as well. That's not a bad name. Mm. It depends on, obviously, the market's hot right now.
What can Brandon Drury can play anywhere on the infield?
Basically, yeah.
Okay,
I don't know how much you want to play him at short, but also the Brewers are pretty set there with Adames, and then Turan can play a pretty good short as well in case you have to have him play there. Urias as well. And he hits lefties very well.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, I could see that being a fit. He's an older guy. We talked about him. I kind of poo-pooed that idea a while back, but that was before I knew they were going to get a catcher for free.
Yeah,
so
you've also, the thing with Drury is, like, there's not much track record there.
No.
He
wasn't even good after the deadline. He really was, like, he's been 4 good months, pretty much.
Yeah, some of the underlying numbers this last year were really positive, but, like I said, you don't have the years of history there, and if you have to pay him something similar to what you ended up paying, like, a Justin Turner on a 1 or 2 year deal, mm-hmm. I would. Justin Turner is what, 38, but I would prefer a guy who still hit really well at age 37 and has done it for what, 10 years, than Drury. Although Drury's probably better defensively. So,
yeah, there's also something else to note in that this deal, the Winker deal, a little bit less so, but this deal, it kind of comes out of nowhere. Like, I don't think anybody was connecting the Brewers to William Contreras. At least not. There was some buzz early in the day that the Brewers were one of teams possibly involved in a three-way deal, but the Sean Murphy stuff was coming out. It seemed like for a while it was just Atlanta and Oakland having sort of a one-way deal. So this tells me that stuff could pop out of nowhere, you know, like it was in the previous regime, that this stuff doesn't necessarily have a lot of smoke before there's fire. So this, you know, we could wake up tomorrow and find this news. Like they're pretty stealth still.
Yeah, don't be surprised if the offense additions to come are from trades.
Yeah.
Like, that's just an avenue in which they're very comfortable operating. And, yeah, the market's really hot right now in the free agents.
Do you think there's still a chance they go in and sign a pitcher, that they bring in a decent, I mean, whatever, you know, whatever level we're at with the pitchers who are left, they're not going to get Carlos Rodon, I realize that. But is there still a chance they do that, or do you think they say to themselves, look, we've got a affordable elite starting gathering at this point, we are going to just ride with what we got?
I think it was a legitimate option, but with the way these contracts are going right now,
it's crazy.
Just doesn't make sense to, with the way that they want to operate, it does not make the most sense to spend the money that you have there.
And maybe that it also ups their value of their own guys. You know, like Eric Lauer
is
a pretty pricey thing on the open market at this point. And, mm-hmm. you know, maybe that makes him, you know.
Yeah, if you don't want to pay 3 years, what, $65 million for a Chris Bassett or something like that.
Right.
I mean, you've got the Brewers have guys that are going to cost, what, $5 million this year for Lauer, $6 million or something like that, to be a proven number three starter. And so the trade market does sort of intertwine with the free agent market in the offseason.
How much longer do you think before, because we've seen a lot of clamoring about the Brewers doing nothing because all these contracts are getting handed out at the winter meetings, the Brewers are not involved in these heavy hitters, these massive, massive deals. How much longer before fans, this grace period wears off and fans start doing that again? You think we make it to Christmas?
Let's go New Year's.
New Year's.
New Year's, yeah.
I like it. That's fair. Matt Arnold has bought himself the rest of December.
A unanimously loved trade buys you 3 weeks.
Buys you 3 weeks, maybe, in the offseason. Or like the first, maybe for some people you get to April and then, or even March, and William Contreras struggles in spring training. And then it's all back to square one, I guess. Oh, man, Kurt. Any last thoughts? This is wild. Like I said, I cannot remember a trade where I felt like the Brewers got, you know, just pulled a heist. You know, in retrospect, sure, there have been trades like that, or trades that I've liked, but I can't remember one like this.
Neither can I really, but it's not only a heist like in terms of value, but this is the spot that they needed to upgrade. And I might have been with you, I don't remember, but I was searching around just trying to find, okay, if they don't trade for Sean Murphy or Danny Jansen or any of those Blue Jays guys, like who could be available? Mm-hmm. And I thought maybe Travis d'Arnaud would be one of the – like the Braves already had too many catchers.
Travis d'Arnaud is available now that they have Sean Murphy.
They already had a too many cooks in the kitchen situation. So I thought there's no way they'll trade William Contreras. So it would be d'Arnaud. So it just goes to show that you never know when something's going to pop up, when a team will decide to make someone expendable that you never thought would be. Part of me can't believe that there was still no one else that could give the A's more than Esturi Ruiz.
Yeah.
Even though I understand full and well what the A's were valuing Esturi Ruiz as, they were putting him on as a William Contreras comp, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't see that. And it's tough to wrap my mind around it. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but it's tough to see, like, I can't believe no one else could come up with a better prospect.
This trade would never work because of money, but if they had held on to Hader, Josh Hader for William Contreras straight up, I think that makes sense. I think that's an okay deal. It wouldn't be universally beloved, but that would be understandable.
I do wonder if there were some Padres Brewers A's talks at the deadline. Sean Murphy maybe to Milwaukee. Esturi Ruiz.
Well, Ramon Laureano, they needed a center fielder. We talked about him as a guy who was available at the time seemingly available.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure Sean Murphy was discussed. I just wonder if it was in the context of these specific teams and players.
Yeah. That's super interesting. So the Milwaukee Brewers have landed a big fish, or at least what we see is a big fish for relatively little return. And now we'll see if there's still some more moves in the offing as they head toward Christmas. Jeff Suppan famously was brought in on Christmas, or Christmas Eve, I think it was, that they signed him back in, was that 05?
We have specifically asked Matt, I think it was at his introductory press conference, just chatting with him. I think we specifically asked no holiday deals this year.
Yes.
They did the Thanksgiving trade for Lauer and Urias.
That's right.
And the Renfro deal was dangerously close.
Yeah, that would have been the Tuesday night before Thanksgiving. Yeah, well... we'll see. We'll see if the holidays maybe they go quiet for a couple days. But
I would like that.
He has until January 1st by our rubric before he has to start making more deals, so he can afford to rest up in the holidays. All right. Thanks for listening to Micro Brew Emergency Edition. We'll have another one if more moves are happening. We'll keep talking Brewers as long as people are interested. And in the meantime, feel free to check everything Kurt writes at jsonline.com. He's got a couple really nice things about William Contreras right now. Kind of what sort of player the Brewers are getting here. And a look at the trade. So check that out, and we will chat with you again very soon. Bye-bye, everybody.
Here at Ritual, we know that a mother's support isn't limited to one day a year, and we believe that yours shouldn't be either. So this Mother's Day, we're honoring the world's biggest supporters with science-backed daily rituals that center you not just today, but every day. Whether you're thinking about motherhood, actively trying, or already there, we've got you covered for when it matters most. From fertility support and natal choline to our best-selling clinically-backed prenatal multivitamin, know that you're getting clean, traceable key ingredients in bioavailable forms. Because let's be honest, you don't have time for guesswork. Find your ritual. Go to ritual.com/podcast and for a limited time, get 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Based on net sales from industry data, including Nielsen IQ, Stackline, and Numerator as of Q4 2024 and top 5 products.